Good morning. For devotion this morning, I was thinking about it a little bit, and it's not going to be necessarily a new thing, maybe, or a whole bunch of new thoughts. But we've actually been studying it in our Sunday school, so hopefully it's not too repetitive. But what I was thinking of this morning is we had in our last Sunday school lesson, it talked about, the Sunday school lesson before that talked about how they had to offer sacrifices and the Old Testament law. And then it talked about last Sunday about the new and living way. And that kind of struck me how we have a new and living way. So that's kind of what I decided to have for devotions this morning. So 2,000 years ago, the greatest event in the history of the world since the creation and before Jesus' second coming was about to unfold. Jesus, the Son of God himself and God himself, came to this earth and came to earth with a mission to be a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. So for the first 4,000 years of earth, before Jesus came, there was the law. And in many ways, the law wasn't really very effective. It wasn't God's original purpose for man to follow him. It was a little bit, they had to offer sacrifices when they sinned, and it was more of outward actions rather than a matter of heart. And, over and over, you hear it in the Bible, it talks about the children of Israel, how they sinned and did evil in the sight of God. Then God would turn them over to the Philistines or some other tribe. And then the children of Israel would cry out to God for him to save them from their enemies. And he would. And then they would do it all over again. And the Old Testament law was focused mainly on outward appearances, their actions. And I guess a lot of it was a list of do and don'ts, more than a matter of, to obtain righteousness, a matter of do and don'ts rather than heart. They offered sacrifices for their sins, or the priests did, and these sacrifices appeased God for the time being, but I guess you could kind of say that it just tied it over until the great sacrifice came, the Son of God. And it's not that the Old Testament didn't have a purpose. It had a great purpose. There's many types and shadows that we see in it today that point to Jesus. And those are beautiful and valuable. And they're important to the Bible and to our understanding of God. And there's many great people of the Bible, too, living back then. Abraham and David and Ruth and just a bunch of people that we read about that we can get stuff from. But it's still that it still wasn't the perfect plan of redemption to have sacrifices until Jesus came. So I'm going to read a little bit out of Hebrews 10. It's our Sunday school lesson last Sunday, so hopefully it's not a little bit repetitive, but that's kind of what I was thinking on. So Hebrews 10, verse 14 to 20. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. In their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So verse 14 is kind of interesting. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The blood of sin, of sheep and goats didn't qualify. It had to be the Son of God, God himself, because he is the only one that is perfect and just. So now God's great plan of salvation was ready to come. Jesus came to the earth, the perfect and spotless and holy Son of God came to be a sacrifice to sinful mankind. So Jesus became that sacrifice, and now we have the new and living way through the veil that was torn. When Jesus died on the cross, this is all familiar, but I'm just kind of going over it anyways because it's kind of interesting. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the outside was torn, and what was inside the Holy of Holies was God's presence, God himself, God's presence in there. And when the veil was torn, now we have access into the Holy of Holies. Jesus is now our high priest. And that's one of the greatest gifts of this new and living way. So now this veil was torn. We have direct access to God. And we have many more privileges than many of the people of the Old Testament did. We have direct access to God, like I said already, through Jesus' blood. And we also have a recorded history of Jesus' life here on earth. Jesus said when he came to earth that many righteous men and prophets had desired to see this day when Jesus came to earth. And now we have this. I guess we don't necessarily see Jesus physically. Some people do. But we have him living within us. And they didn't really have that necessarily yet, the Old Testament people. And they didn't have the Holy Spirit either, as the way that Jesus gave it to us anyways. So now we no longer have to sacrifice for our sins too. The blood has been shed. Now it is a matter of righteousness of the heart rather than works. There is some extra responsibility with this though. Hebrews 10:28-29, this is last Sunday again. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. So we have a greater responsibility in many ways because of this great gift that we've been given. Jesus said that now hate is the same as killing and lust is the same as adultery. So the point of this is not to show necessarily all the Old Testament things, but that we have this incredible and special gift, like it says, a new and living way. And it should make us all the more thankful and earnest to seek God, to get to know him better and try to please him. How great it is that a holy God would want to have communion with a sinful man, and that's the greatest gift. And we also, I think, want to seek him all the more that we see the day approaching. I don't know, it seems like there's many people, even in not necessarily our churches, but in many churches in the United States that will even believe that these are becoming the end times, the end days, I guess you'd say. Jesus could come very soon, any time. And especially now as we see Revelation talks about seeing signs and seasons, I think it'd be a little bit ignorant to not at least consider that we might be living in these end times, and it would make it all the more important to seek God with our whole heart and to want to follow him. So, anyway, that's pretty much all I had. Hopefully it was an encouragement to see this great gift that we've been given and to seek God and follow him all the more. Why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace to us. Please guide us in your ways. Thank you for this service that we had today, and just please guide the rest of the service, the one that's bringing the message. And please let your Holy Spirit be in our midst, and please guide us in your ways that we may understand your will for us. And just thank you so much for the great plan of salvation that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.